Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are we all doing?
Good.
That's great. Lord's Day is awesome. It's great to be together. What a great reminder. You know, not only is Jesus preeminent in our life, but that we're not in this alone, huh? I really appreciate God's wisdom and design in that. Have you guys turn on over to 1 Peter chapter 5. Message this morning is just more of a reminder, a section we know well. The roaring lion, you know, looks for those to devour, just want to help us with that picture. Okay. Quick announcement. I missed the announcements. My bad. We have a calendar hanging on the wall out there by the bulletin board. We actually hung that thing so that way, if you know you're going to be using the building throughout the week, you'd just go ahead and write, you know, on Monday and Wednesday or Saturday, you know, I'm going to be using the building for X, Y, or Z. That's really helpful for me. I'm scheduling lots of stuff throughout the week, trying to get cleaners in here, you know, plumbers and electricians, and then, you know, rightfully so, a lot of you guys are asking me, hey, is the building available? And, you know, there's 100 of you, so that's hard for me to keep track of sometimes. So that really helps me out a lot. So if you've got an event you're doing or a weekly thing that you're doing, that calendar is actually hanging up out there, so you can write that down. So I know when the building's free and I can get, you know, people in here or whatever we need to do. So appreciate your teamwork on that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to break down some of these concepts this morning. Right out of the gate, you know, we get this picture that there's this lion seeking someone to devour, and the way that you cannot be devoured is to be sober of spirit and to be firm in your faith, understanding that these same things are happening to other people. There's so much packed in this section. I like to bring it up every couple of years. Understanding that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished. You know, it's really easy to feel like you're the only one that's got it tough. And although not all of us go through same circumstances, you know, there are some things that just not being a female, I can never understand. And, you know, vice versa. You can never really understand. You know, being a gal can't really understand the challenges that men face and vice versa. But at the end of the day, we can't ever develop this attitude, well, I'm the only one that's got it rough. You know, it's important to understand that all of us suffer in one way or another. The idea is to suffer because of your faith in Christ. Amen? Life's kind of miserable if you're just going to suffer on the earth and then die and go to hell. You know, that wouldn't be worth it. So, right out of the gate here in verse 8, he says, be of sober spirit. You know, Christianity really is like running. I'm not a runner. I don't like to run. I do it when I go to the gym, which hasn't been recently. And when the person writing the workout tells me I have to. That is the only time I run. I actually have you guys turn on over to Proverbs chapter 28. This is more for fun. So, you know, you take it however you want. Christianity is a lot like running, though. Running has its highs and its lows. Those who run certainly have a need for endurance, right? Every marathon has a beginning and an end, and then that really grueling hard part in the middle, which is the suffering part. I've done a little bit of running. I definitely have felt that feeling once you've ran a couple miles and you kind of hit your groove and kind of are able to go a couple miles at a steady pace that you can maintain. And you hit that moment, you're like, wow, I could do this for 11 more miles. And you know, how else do people run 100 miles? I don't know. But it's got its highs and its lows. And it's a marathon. And there's a finish line. And we got to hit that finish line. And the only way to lose is to stop moving. You just got to just walk for a little while. Sometimes in life, you just got to walk as long as you're moving forward, you know. They got them 5Ks now, fundraisers. They call them walk, crawl, or run, right? Something like that, you know? Like, hey, man, if you even got to crawl, you know, a quarter mile of this thing, and you just get her done. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1, says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing. A lot of translations actually say the wicked run when no one is pursuing them. So if you're looking for your opt-out on running, there's your Bible verse. You know, yeah. Only the wicked run when no one's chasing. Why are you running? Well, nobody's chasing me. I just like to run. Like, what? Like, that's painful, you know? That's a joke. Obviously, if you're doing what is right, you have no need. Your conscience isn't burdened, and you have nothing to run from. But if you need your out, there's your out. But running really is a good metaphor. Now, maybe you're not a runner like me, but you see people running, and we're bipedal creatures. We're supposed to run, I suppose. But you know, the point is it's a marathon, and it's a long stretch. And what I think we got to remember is we can't forget what we're running from, and we can never forget what we're running towards, right? Now, I think I heard Jay say it first, but he says what you're running towards is always a much more powerful long-term motivator than what you're running from. So, you know, maybe today's a little more of a what you're running from type of message. Now, that finish line, that, you know, what you're running towards in the race, the gold medal, the blue ribbon, in this case, heaven, that would be where you want your focus. Because what you're running towards is always a much more powerful long-term motivator simply than what you're just running from. If you're living your life just to run from consequences, if you're living your life just to run from things, they always manage to catch up with you. But 1 Peter 5 does paint this picture that we are running, and what are we running from? A lion. He wants someone to devour. Now, the nice thing about this picture is we don't have to focus on what we're running from, because that's not a powerful long-term motivator. He says, resist him. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee far from you. So when you're firm in your faith, sober in spirit, like Peter says, you can resist the devil and he will flee far from you. And now you're just running for the sake of what you're running towards and no longer running for the sake of what you're running from. But I imagine if you're a human and you're a Christian that you've experienced both sides of this marathon where you ran because you were running from the devil. And hopefully today you can say confidently that you're running because you're excited about the reward. And that's your focus. His exhortation to us in verse 8 is to be of sober spirit. Yeah, the Bible does refer to soberness simply by not having your brain inebriated by chemicals. You know, whether that's alcohol or drugs. Which, you know, drugs cover quite the spectrum. You know, we want our minds ready at all times. You know, if you're the devil, you know, you're this lion seeking someone to devour, and you got this gazelle, this little ate too many fermented berries, you know. It's gonna be easier to catch than the other gazelles, right? So we gotta make sure that the mind is ready, you know. That we're sharp. We also want to be sober of spirit. You know, the Bible also refers to our mindset. You know, your mindset can make yourself not sober. You want to have a clear head. Maybe your brain's just filled with rage. That would not be a sober spirit. Okay? The Bible also refers to that as well. I'll take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, the picture I have of, you know, how can we run this race, focus on what we're running towards and not what we're running from? Well, we got to figure out how to get the devil to stop chasing us. Step one, sober spirit. What he says. Sober spirit. Okay? He going to go on to say firm in faith? And then he's also going to teach us to understand that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren. See, these are kind of three things that we got to understand God's teaching us that help us make sure that we don't simply run from the devil and that he flees from us. So when I think of be of sober of spirit, I think of put yourself in a position to win. You guys understand what I'm saying? You know, I've been coaching them basketball boys, and you know, there have been times in the second quarter that we've been down 15, 16, 17 points. And call timeout. We say, here's the plan. We're down 16. The goal is to have that deficit by halftime at 10. We come out of halftime, we're going to finish the third quarter down 5. And then we're going to win the game in the fourth quarter. See, when you're down 16 in life, you can't always just say, we got to make up those 16 points and we got to do it today. It doesn't work like that. You see, what you got to do is put yourself in a position that by the fourth quarter, you have a chance to win. You see, if you're down 16 points still when the fourth quarter comes around, how are your chances looking of winning? So what you got to do is you've got to put yourself, spiritually speaking, in a position where you can win, right? Maybe you're 3'2" and you want the cookies on the counter, okay? You can't reach them, right? Okay. What are the chances you're going to get a cookie? You know, zero. But if you find a stool or something to stand on, you've put yourself literally in a position to reach what it is that you want, the goal, which is the cookie. You see, faith's no different. Okay? We got to be making spiritual choices, usually as the result of spiritual priorities that put us in a position that when the end of the race comes, we can finish that thing. Okay? Now, I imagine, you know, I can picture Nikki running 50 miles. I can picture that because I've seen her run before. I've ran with her. God bless her. She always comes back when she gets a mile ahead of me and picks me back up. But I can picture, okay, Nikki running 50 miles. I have a really hard time picturing these people that, you know, run these, you know, these big long races on indoor tracks and they just run circles, you know, and you flip back from the Olympics and then you turn back, yep, lap 50, you know, lap 75. Like, that is more boring than NASCAR, in my opinion, okay? You know, or just running little 400 meter laps on the track. That sounds awful. Now, here's what I do know. If you're running a 75 lap race on an indoor track, you've got to have ran those first 74 laps in a way that by the 75th lap, you've got enough left in the tank to finish that race. That's Christianity. And when he says, be sober of spirit, nothing puts you out of being in a position to finish that race than by clouding the mind. Don't touch the stuff. Overcome your fear, your anxiety, and your anger. Cannot cloud the mind. If we cloud the mind, we're like the runner that came out too fast, and by lap 70, we have nothing in the tank to finish the last 5 laps. And the devil was sitting there the whole time waiting to pounce. And all he had to do was offer you a bottle of scotch. Or, you know, something that enrages you, that you have not overcome through prayer and petition and supplication. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. See, I'm not making this up. The Holy Spirit uses running as an illustration for us. And the exhortation is run in a way to win. Hey, you want to lose this race? Get drunk. You want to lose it? Drink the bottle of scotch. You want to lose it? Not be in control of your spirit. Be out of control. Okay? He says, you got to run in such a way as to win. You know, I did get talked into some of those 5K runs that they do during the holidays and for fundraisers here in town. It's been a number of years. I think 2016 was probably the last time I did one of them. And it's always because, you know, you guys are doing them and you invite anybody who wants to come along. And can't remember if it was the Fergusons this year, but I remember one time I went downtown. We were, can't exactly remember where we were at downtown. We were getting ready to start, and it was kind of one of those like walk, crawl, run, like it's just, you know, all for fun. And a whole group of kids just smoking cigarettes at the starting line, right next to me. And I thought to myself, boy, you are making this a lot harder on yourself than you need to. Talk about not putting yourself in a position to win. Like, just sabotage the lungs right before you're going to go run 5 miles. Three and point, whatever. I thought, boy, that's a pretty good picture of what Peter's trying to explain to us here. He says, you be sober of spirit. Now, he tells us, you be sober. I'm not comparing that to, smoking cigarettes in your lungs. He says, be sober of spirit. If you're going to resist the adversary, you got to put yourself in a position to win. I thought, boy, these smokers aren't putting themselves in a position to win. They were going to crawl the 5K. That's what it was. Must have been their plan. So 1 Peter chapter 5, be of sober spirit. The Christian must consider the seriousness of the battle with which he is engaged. How great is the loss of just one soul? Really got to understand the seriousness of the spiritual battle. How great is it when one sinner repents? I mean, this is serious. The church is a herd, and there's a lion seeking to devour, and we do not want that lion to devour any of us. Amen? You guys interested in adding more gazelles to the herd? I mean, how devastating is it when just one soul is lost? And how great is it when someone who is lost is found? Verse 8, he says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. How many times do you study history and read how the attacking army said, let's wait until the cover of darkness and attack them while they are sleeping? See, why would the army want to fight someone in the dark? Well, because they're sleeping in their tents. Kind of hard to be on the alert when you're sleeping, right? We don't want to be like, Kendall. We don't want to be those who are walking in the darkness going through the motions. Right? Easy to attack that individual. That's why Satan has so much success that way. Okay. Take you over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. You see that? See? You can't be walking in the dark. And then he even says, you're not walking in the dark, because you got the light of God. Kendall brought that out. God is light. He illumines all things. Verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. See, Peter's not writing anything that Paul didn't. Okay. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. See, we can't just run this race because we're running from a lion. We have to run this race because we're running towards heaven. So what do we do to get rid of the lion? He says, you got to be sober. Paul said the same thing to the Thessalonians, right? And he also said, You got to be on the alert. On the alert. Always ready. You know, it's easy. I think Rain was the one that said, you know, I mean, we live in a world where we have constant pressures coming on us from every angle, you know. And it's easy to be overwhelmed by those, and it's also easy to misprioritize things. We want to be on the alert. Wish I could say more, running out of time. What are we alert for? 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. See, the problem with the lion is that he hates you. He actually hates you. Wants to destroy you. That's kind of hard for us to consider, because that's not who we are. That we would ever look at something and want to destroy it. You know, unless it's your neighbor's snowman that's been up for a month, you know, and you just kind of want to run over and just tackle the thing, you know. Well, them kids do that, you know. What I want you to see is the picture. I mean, I don't know. We didn't watch much TV growing up. There were two things I remember watching vividly. I mean, I watched The Roadrunner. I saw some of that stuff growing up. But, you know, for whatever reason, the two things I really remember were the hunting shows, you know, where the guys and the gals are always whispering, you know, "Well, we got them coming up over the ridge over there." You know, they're always in the tree stand. You know? And that would just be on in the background for hours. You know, Dad liked watching that stuff. And never really could get into it. And the other thing that I wouldn't mind catching once in a while was, don't know what the channel was. I feel like they've changed, but the Geographic channel where you could watch the animals on the Sahara, you know. And I really liked watching them cheetahs and lions chase after the gazelles and the buffaloes. I mean, the thrill of the chase, you know. And sometimes I'd root for the lion, sometimes I'd root for the gazelle, you know. I guess it just depended. For some reason, I don't know, maybe as a young man, I the thrill of the chase, you know, I always liked watching that. But I never did enjoy the part when they were sitting down for dinner afterwards. You know, the lion's whole head is just completely drenched in blood. You know, I think he should have used a fork, you know. Yeah. He's eating his food with his hands, you know. But I never really did like that picture. That picture wasn't, you know, that wasn't the reason why I watched, you know. And that's kind of the way that the natural world is with animals. Thank the Lord he made us in his image. We are not animals, contrary to the evolutionist. You know, that would not be good. But the picture of someone being torn apart by the claws of a lion, or their body being ripped by the jaws of a powerful beast, that's not a pretty picture, is it? And guess what? It's still actually a prettier picture than when Satan gets his hands on somebody. You've got to consider the weight and the seriousness of the spiritual battle. How devastating is it when one soul is lost? God's asked us to consider a lion seeking someone to devour. The picture I have that I saw was the lion seeking the gazelle and then devouring the gazelle. And the picture of even a person being ripped apart by the claws and crushed by the jaws is still a prettier picture than when someone spiritually succumbs to Satan. Much more gruesome. See, the problem is you can't see it with your eyes. So it's easy to forget about or put it on the back burner. Got to be able to open our eyes, see the spiritual reality that surrounds us. You know, people's houses are spiritually on fire. Can you see that? Verse 9, he says, resist him, firm in your faith. You mentioned this earlier. You guys go to James chapter 4. Verse 7. He writes, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Peter tells us there's this lion looking for someone to devour. We can resist him. Firm in our faith. Verse 9, he says, the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 11. Jesus teaches us, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. He says the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. He teaches us that we will be insulted and persecuted because of our allegiance to Christ, our public proclamation of our faith in him, that he is the only way to God. And because of that, we do experience the same sufferings because our sufferings are done in the name of the Lord. You know, like I said earlier, we have different physical trials. We have different tribulations that may be different from one another. But Jesus tells us that not only are we blessed, but that we will be persecuted on account of his name. I think when Peter reminds us that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren, one, it helps remind us that we're not special. You know, we're not the only ones that had a bad day. I got to constantly remind myself, you just had a bad 10 minutes. You're the one that ruined the other one, you know, the other however many minutes you got. You know, remind myself, hey, you know, there's 100 other people that would take your circumstances over their own. You know, not to mention, I mean, most of you are all in percent of the top 1% of the richest people in the whole world. Where's that celebration day? You know. I think it's something like you make $35,000 a year, you're top 1% of all earners in the entire world. So you're rich. You know, we should have a holiday for that and celebrate it, you know. I think the other thing that he reminds us for, that these same experiences of suffering, to remind us that we are not each other's enemy. The lion is. Right? Because the reality is things are going to come up and people aren't always going to agree. They may disagree. They may even sin against one another. Important for us to remember that, you know, that we are not each other's enemies. You know, the lion who wants to kill us is. He is our common foe. And then in verse 10, he says the verse that's the hardest one for me to believe in faith. You know, I've kind of personally in my own life made the choice to never drink alcohol ever. Made that choice, you know, like a decade ago. Haven't touched the stuff. You know, even if I'm on my second glass of wine and I'm still sober, which I think there's another conversation to be had there, but, you know, I can't drive a car now. And I get phone calls late at night with people who need help. And I've got a family and people who, they could need me at 11 p.m., 1 a.m. You know, maybe somebody stays up late reading the scriptures. It's midnight, says, I think I want to obey the scriptures and follow the Lord. Would you come immerse me tonight? Sorry, 3 glasses of wine. Call Kevin. You know? You know, the point I'm trying to make is when I read this and he says, you be sober of spirit, no problem for me. No problem. I'm going to go the the whole nine yards. You know, I'm going to go the whole way. Just not even a drop of that stuff's going to touch my tongue. Okay? He says, be on the alert. Okay, you know, I need that reminder sometimes, but I don't have a problem with the reminder. I get it. Okay, Nolan, you're not focusing on the right things. Okay, you know what's really hard for me that I wrestle with? Verse 10. After you've suffered for a little while. I believe the scriptures call your bad day or your bad decade or your lifetime of suffering momentary light affliction. God said it, not me. So you take those confusing gazes and you direct them at God. Momentary light affliction. That's where I need the reminder. I'm the top 1% richest people in the world. Light affliction. Grumble about the taxes and the bills. You know, although we still should do something about it. But and then here, the Spirit has the audacity to say that there's this lion that's going to rip you apart if you don't stand firm in your faith. And then he says, oh, and then after you suffer for a little bit, you know, then you can go to heaven. Little bit. It's almost been 40 years. Hopefully 40 more to come. This doesn't feel like a little bit to me. How about you? It feels like a lifetime. And that's the problem, because people say, oh, life is really short. But the reality is it's the longest thing you've done up to this point. Figure that out. The only way the longest thing you've ever actually stuck to in your entire life can be short is if you have the goal of heaven in front of you. Because it is only the marker of heaven that makes the life that is long become a vapor. And the Spirit says, oh, and once you've suffered a little bit, and here he says, for a little while, like, Lord, it has not been a little while. Why does it feel like that? Because this is the longest thing you've ever done. Congratulations, you actually stuck to something for once in your life. It's called life. And it's hard. Man, kind of a side point. People need encouragement. I don't know, how many people are here? Did you already count? 140? Okay, 138? Yeah. Yeah. 138 people smiling, saying, hi, how you're doing? Struggling with something. Rejection, anxiety, grief, regret, worries about the future. I gotta tell you, a lot of us were kind of looking forward to 2025. You know, we are finally unburdened by what has been. And, and I got to tell you, I don't think 2025 is coming with any promises. I think it keeps getting worse. And I got to tell you, people need encouraged. I'll take anything you'll give me. Please. I know you guys feel the same way. So he says, after you've suffered for a little while, it's like, ah! But see, by faith, we got to trust the Lord, amen? See, he's smarter than we are. He knows better. He's the one who dwells in eternity. And the reality is, what we're doing is a little while. And it is momentary and light. See, but God's the one that's working on our mindset, because he's got the perfect paradigm. After you've suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's what we're running towards. So, gotta remember, If you're not running, you're being devoured. Put yourself in a position to win. How about, for starters, just start running? You know, maybe you didn't read your Bible once this week. Okay? Maybe you've been smoking them cigarettes at the start line, you know? Okay, hey, make a goal. Read your Bible this week. Okay? You got to run. You know, let's not even talk about putting yourself in a position to win. You got to start moving those legs. Okay, so a lot of times, you know, they got these apps. You know, they call them from couch to 5K. You know, how do you get somebody who sat on the couch for the last 10 years to run 3 miles? You know, well, it starts by taking that first step. Okay, so you go serve somebody in the congregation. You read your Bible. You pray with people. You show up. I mean, there's all kinds of things going on. Right after I get done here, y'all are going to fill up that calendar. There's all sorts of things going on if you want to plug in. Okay, and they're announced, okay, and there's Bible studies that you're welcome to join, but you plug in. And then when you get in, you got to run because there's a lion behind you. But the point is you get at a place where you're no longer running from the lion because you've resisted him and he flees from you. And now you are running towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And what we're going towards in verse 10 is Christ, who will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Now we're running. We're no longer running because of what we're running from, but we're running towards Christ, who's the only answer to the tough days, the trials, the regret, the mistakes, and we make it to heaven. Amen? Okay, let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you so much, Lord, for your plan. Thank you that you have set this up in a way. I mean, we really, you know, you think about when it comes to earned wages, and, you know, there's that statistic that, you know, most Americans' wages put them in the top 1% of earners in the entire world. But you know, something similar to that, that you teach us in Hebrews 11, is that because we live today, now, in this time, as those who are indwelt by your Spirit, who comprise your church under the new covenant, where Christ is the high priest, you teach us in the scriptures, and largely Hebrews 11, that because we dwell now, we are the privileged, blessed ones. Much more than a 1%. You know, it's more like one to the, you know, however many power. We are truly those who have been exalted to heaven, to those who have had our sins cleansed. We have confidence to stand in your presence. You have done so much on our behalf. And it's because we believe. Jesus said that we believe even though we do not see, more blessed are we. So we thank you, Lord. Although we are a privileged people, and there is great value in the church, difficulties still come, and that's because there is a lion. Thank you for your reminder and your encouragement. Thank you for helping us through your word, your Spirit, and through your church. May we have the firmness of faith and the sober of spirit, understanding that we all suffer because we follow you, that we would be able to run towards the prize of the upward call. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.